Hello and welcome to the Intentional Clinician Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Kraus, licensed professional counselor. In today's episode, I'm bringing on Dr. Karthik Ramanan, who's been a frequent guest in the past. We're having a short discussion about how to stay healthy during the quarantine of 2020, and also how to balance the tremendous grief and difficulty people are going through in their lives, also with some opportunities for growth, but not ignoring either one. If you don't know who Dr. Karthik Ramanan is, I suggest you check him out, especially his famous YouTube channel with the Dr. K Show. He is a naturopathic physician specializing in integrative mental health and lifestyle medicine. He focuses on helping ambitious individuals end self-criticism with tools and strategies to create optimal everyday health. And he is a very authentic speaker. He talks about his own struggles with obesity, low self-esteem, intense self-criticism, even though he was a very high performer, and how he went from a career on Wall Street to medical school and what he's up to now. He's helped a lot of people, and I think he will provide some great insight during our talk today. Stay tuned. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about all of these things right now, especially considering this has never happened before in our lifetimes. This is a unprecedented situation, and there's so many angles to talk about. So where do you want to start today?
Well, I think I'd love to talk about, at first, what are you seeing as a common thread among the patients that you've been working with in the last, let's call it, month and a half, 2 months?
Well, yeah, I won't speak to all mine personally, but I also am a clinical supervisor for about 11 people. So I can just speak generally. I think people have been going through the stages of grief. And I think people have also been going into fight, flight, freeze, and collapse, like a trauma response, because there's so many different angles with which this pandemic is reaching us, even if it hasn't reached us directly in terms of somebody we know or ourselves getting COVID-19. It is certainly having giant effects in the culture. So some of the effects that I've been noticing are, at first, there was a lot of anxiety and sort of disbelief. And also in the stages of grief, I would call that denial. And then there seemed to be quite a bit of irritation and frustration. So that's another stage of grief. Although you don't have to go through the stages of grief in any sort of order, it just seemed to go that way. And then with the frustration and irritation, it also seemed to be a great deal of anxiety, but that depends on the person, because some people are having major changes to their life right now in terms of loss of the job, loss of money, or somebody they know dying. These are huge traumas that are just happening in the midst of a global trauma. And then other people, more or less, their lives were all changed in terms of every plan they had was basically changed. And also the things they were used to going out of the house to do were all changed. If they didn't lose their job and they were just working from home and they couldn't go to certain businesses. So that was frustration, irritation, but then also getting into anxiety. When is this going to end? When is this going to stop? How do we help people? What if I get sick? What if both parents get sick and the child is, who's going to watch my child? Because what if the child, if both parents get sick and go to the hospital, the child is obviously a carrier. So can the child go to the grandparents? Or a relative? No. Where are they supposed to go? A lot of parents are facing that question. People are feeling isolated and lonely, which brings me to the next stage, which seems to be depression. There's a lot of people, I think, now that we're 2 or 3 weeks into the quarantine that are facing the effects of depression on top of the trauma and anxiety responses, where there's just sort of dragging through their day. I hear a lot of reports of, I'm exhausted, I'm so tired, I'm overwhelmed. I don't even know what to do. I can't seem to get motivation to do the things that I normally would do in a work day. And even though I'm not commuting, that extra half hour or an hour I've saved, I don't even know where it's going. Right. And then, of course, bargaining. People are, you know, bargaining and wishing and praying and meditating and hoping this will end sooner. And then also contrasting that with an over it seems, oversaturation of news coverage that they may be watching, or too much digital input, I think, is having an effect on people. So, I mean, I could keep going. That's generally some of the trends we've been seeing from the mental health side of things. And also, oddly, in the world of technology, a lot of people are not reaching out to their therapists right now. We've started getting a bit more of an influx in the last week, but it's almost as if people didn't realize that telehealth was covered. And in the first week of the pandemic, almost every state in the United States authorized that insurance companies must cover telehealth. And I think nationally, a lot of them are now covering telehealth so that your benefits are the same, whether you're in the office or at home. And they relaxed some of the telehealth requirements so that people could just contact their therapist whatever way they knew how, whether it was phone or video or HIPAA secure telehealth videos, or if they weren't set up for that. So there's a lot of mental health professionals out there saying, oh, you know, where are my clients? They're not, they're not calling.
If anything, this would be the time.
Exactly.
You know, with what you said, especially, you know, I noticed that as well in terms of denial. There's still some people in denial.
Oh, for sure.
That I've noticed. But also anxiety was extremely prevalent, especially a few weeks ago when we were, everyone was hoarding supplies because we didn't know, like, is the entire thing going to get shut down? When you're in that state of fear and panic, we start making decisions that aren't necessarily rational, but are in the, in order to survive. But now I'm also noticing that trend toward depression. And actually, the episode of the Dr. K Show that's coming out this week at the time of this recording is about coronavirus depression, because like you said, people are talking about fatigue, not feeling the motivation to do the things that they normally would do, or just not having the energy to. And I think a lot of people are going through depression maybe for the first time, and that's why they're not recognizing that those symptoms might really correlate to a depressive episode. And at the same time, I think it's important to understand that you know, both of us being mental health professionals, we understand this, that it's, you know, there's a level of response that we have toward a trauma or an event that we could consider expected, normal, for lack of a better word. And right now, with the degree that this has offset everyone's life in the entire world, there's absolutely no stigma associated with going through depression at this time. And I think it's just important for people to realize that and reach out for help. Like you said, you know, I don't think people are realizing just yet that they can reach out and get help from counselors, whether it's local or now, like you said, from afar with telehealth. So it's, there's a lot of people that are able to help. And I just hope that people take advantage, because I don't think it has ever been more important to take care of our mental health than it is right now. Because, again, not to alarm people here, but here's something to keep in mind. This is a virus, right? And unfortunately, it's taking its toll from a physical health standpoint with a lot of individuals out there. We see the tolls, the death toll rising, and we're trying to flatten the curve and all those things. At some point, it will pass, because they all do, right? And those who survive it will survive it, the physical aspect of it. Hopefully it doesn't mutate and we get further strains of this in subsequent seasons and all that stuff. But perhaps at some point we have a herd immunity to it. However, the economic implications, for one, are going to last for a while, whether they're happening right now. And I'm not just talking about the stock market. I'm talking about companies and their actual ability to thrive, right? How the stimulus bill is going to affect that. How the stimulus bill is going to affect our country's economic health going forward. We don't know the answer to any of those things. But more than anything else, you and I both know that a trauma that takes place can have an impact on one's mental health for a long time, well beyond the duration of the physical health, well beyond the duration of the economic implications. Probably get your job back and the economy will be back to normal. But if you don't address, if you don't go through the stages of grief and we can talk about this. And if you don't get the help right now, it can linger and it doesn't have to. So I would like to ask you, what's your take on grief right now? What is the best thing that people can do and in this stage?
Well, the best thing for grief is to talk about it openly. If you don't have somebody to talk to, like you said, reach out to a licensed professional counselor or a naturopathic doctor or somebody who can talk to you via telehealth at this time. You've got to express the grief. If you don't express the grief, it's pretty simple that it gets stuffed inside of you and comes out in other ways. And for our high performers, that will come out and that'll mess up your performance. For people that are in relationships, it'll come out in your relationship. For people that are parents, it'll come out in your parenting. You cannot, whatever we resist persists. And that's a rule in mental health. If we resist something too much, it will come out. So if right now, if you're feeling grief, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling any of the stages, you can look up the five stages of grief, although there's many more, but those are the five main ones. You've got to express it. So there's many ways. If you don't have somebody to talk to, reach out. But if not, there's other ways. Journaling about your grief, just writing it all down. It doesn't have to say, dear journal, today I've been grieving. Yeah. It could be any words that come to your head, writing down on a piece of paper. Drawing, even if you're not an artist, just drawing whatever's coming to your mind. For some people, if you're taking a walk, I know this might sound a little strange, but talking out loud while you walk and talking to yourself in the third person.
It's almost a form of EMDR there.
Yes, because it's got, you have the bilateral stimulation of the right, left. You know, if you can walk, you know, going down the street, left and right stimulation as you walk. So what you can do is actually just talk to yourself and say, how are you feeling, self, or your own name. And yourself will tell you. Calling up friends, calling up family members, people on these Zoom meetings that we're on right now. You can do video meetings if you've got technology for it. And just expressing whatever it is, whether it's anger or fear or even irritation, depression, even if you feel like you're in denial, like, oh, I just wish, I wish this wasn't the case, right?
Right.
And kind of going through that, I think we have to honor the stages that you're in. So obviously there's a lot of memes going around the internet about like how we can be our best self during a pandemic and how we can sort of like grow and all of that. And that's, we'll get to a little bit of that. But what we have to understand is it's not either or. It's not either you grieve or you fall apart, or you grieve or you grow and become your best self. You are going to be going through a roller coaster no matter what, because all of the things that we believed were certain about our culture and our economic system and our society are not certain anymore.
Right.
They are changing and we don't know what that will look like. And so there's very much an opportunity to, instead of being threatened by this, to really work on being in the now, to being in what is happening today. Today is Thursday. My feet are on the ground in this state, in this city, in this house, in this apartment, and I am able to do the following things today. So focusing on what we can do is important, but
focusing on what we can control and what is certain.
Exactly. But if in that day I make a big plan, I say, oh, I want to be productive. I'm going to clean everything. I'm going to reorganize this. I'm going to apply for five jobs. I'm going to listen to an inspirational podcast, read a chapter of a book. I may be trying to compensate for my feeling of being out of control.
Right.
By becoming rigid. Now, in that, again, the best thing to do is honor the grief. So if all of a sudden I'm overwhelmed by feelings and I'm upset, I've got to stop what I'm doing, especially even if you're working from home. Stop for 5 minutes and cry. Stop for 5 minutes and get angry. Express that. Then you're going to be able to move through it versus bottling it all up and in the middle of this trauma, actually making yourself sick in a way. Making yourself more upset, more depressed, more anxious by not accepting the feelings that you're having. Acceptance is difficult. No one wants to accept that every plan they made for the next several months is canceled. Right. No one wants to accept that people they know lost their job. No one wants to accept, like I had a acquaintance that died of COVID-19 in Detroit. No one wants to accept that. I don't want to accept that. I still feel like I'm in shock from that. And Yet if we don't work on trying to accept it, we're prolonging our own trauma and our own difficulty. So yeah. There's no right way, but there is a wrong way. And the wrong way is keeping it to yourself. And in this social distancing, making it social isolation.
Yeah.
Social isolation is toxic and it will kill you.
Yeah. And that doesn't matter if you're introvert or extrovert.
That's correct.
Because the distinction there, I think a lot of people are kind of looking at it as, you know, as an introvert, this is like time to thrive, you know, the social distancing. The difference is, because I've actually lived on both ends of the spectrum through a life transformation. I was on one side, now I'm on the other side. And I've gotten a pretty interesting, I think, view of it. It's more about when the situations where you feel like your cup is being filled up. If you are an introvert, your cup is being filled when you're by yourself. If you're an extrovert, your cup is being filled when you're with other people. But we still need other people, no matter what, in some capacity or another. And complete isolation is not healthy whatsoever. And I like what you said about there's not a right way to do this. And I think people, we're always looking for like, what's the right way to go? What's the right way to, and we look at people on social media and I tend to, my audience is generally, you know, very ambitious, high performing individuals. And right now, a lot of the messaging is like, okay, this is your time. This is your time to focus and do, you know, work on that passion project and whatnot. It might be, but like you said, you have to also give yourself space for when you are experiencing that fatigue, when you are experiencing that grief, when you don't want to do anything because you're still bargaining, if you're still maybe having moments of denial. We have to go and experience those things and express them in some form or another. And then we can rejuvenate, regenerate our energy to then focus on what do we want to do? How can we take advantage of this situation and the blessings that if we look for them are there, but we can't always be in that mode. We have to allow those stages of grief. We have to allow ourselves to process these things if we want to have our long-term mental health.
Absolutely. And what I'm noticing right now is the cycles and stages are going more rapidly.
Yes.
Because of the situation we're in, which is unprecedented and changing and unpredictable, people are going through these stages of renewal and grief and sadness and frustration, but then also growth and output faster and faster than I think normally, because people are busy, but not busy. So if you think about your schedule before you were in quarantine, you probably knew what you were doing after work multiple days a week. You might even have known what you were doing for several weekends in advance. You may have had a little bit of free time scheduled in to your schedule.
Right.
But then when this began, all of that was wiped away except for possibly grocery shopping and you know, going to work or working from home or whatever your job is. And oddly enough, some people are finding themselves with a lot of free time, but some people are finding themselves with almost no free time. And why is that? It just means different things for different people. So I guess the point is that we're going, whereas before when we had that schedule, people would go through that slump. Like, I'm in a slump. I'm in a rut. And then like, they're just busy, busy, busy. I'll work on that in a few weeks. I'll go to my therapist. And then they would, you know, maybe get out of it. Now we're like in this situation where we're inside and it's forcing us to look at things in our life. It's forcing us to cope in different ways, maybe negative, maybe positive, depending. Mm-hmm. It's forcing us to parent children in different ways, to have relationships in different ways, to see our friends in different ways. And so therefore, I think we're going through stages and cycles much faster right now because of the situation. And in a same very strange paradoxical way, things are slowing down. And when you're in a culture, the United States, where things are busy, fast, and we used to make jokes about this even last year, people say, "Hey, Karthik, how are you doing?" And you say, "I'm busy." You don't even say, "I'm doing well." Not you, but you know, that's my joke. So we're now in a slowdown. And so this can be tremendously difficult for people. And it is, because it's a trauma And also, we're now in the zone of proximal development. We're having to learn to do everything differently. And when you're in the zone of proximal learning development, you will be tired.
Always uncomfortable.
Exactly. And most people can tolerate it for about 30 minutes a day before they're exhausted. So we're in it all day right now.
Yeah, because we're having to adjust to all sorts of things. Some people are having to learn how to cook. You know, it's a good skill to have. But in the beginning, it does not feel like you're doing anything right. It's uncomfortable. Or even, even working from home. A lot of people have never worked from home. They're having to learn how to do it and how to do it with their children around and all these challenges. And yeah, it doesn't take very long before you start getting exhausted on any given day, because it's challenging to always be in that zone of growth, really, which doesn't feel like it when you're in it, but you are growing and getting better in those different ways.
And even if you feel like you're failing in something, you're actually just adapting.
Yeah.
So when this is over and we go to back to some semblance of normal, whatever that's going to be, you will have realized that you have adapted. Even if this entire time you feel like you're grasping at straws, you've adapted and you've learned to work through something difficult. So that brings me to this. I want to talk about your perspective on this a little bit, which are, remember the old business thing from business times when you were in when you worked for Goldman Sachs? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats.
Yeah.
So I think let's skip the strengths and weaknesses, but I feel like a lot of people, you know, if they're not personally affected by the virus in terms of health, they're seeing all of this time and this disruption as a threat. And my vacation is canceled, it's a threat. I'm having to wear a mask to the grocery store, it's a threat. I'm having to learn to do these things differently. I'm having to learn to manage my time differently. I'm having to learn to spend differently. It's a threat. So I want to talk about a little bit of a reframe on this, where not that we're denying reality, but how can we make these threats opportunities for growth, opportunities for learning, opportunities for something that will carry us out of this time in a stronger, healthier, and more possibly resolute and confident way about our lives? What do you think about that, Dr.
That's a great question. And I would say the easiest way for us to believe something is to look into our own past. Now, there's a lot of things that we may not have gone through, but we will go through for the first time, and then we'll come out the other side, and now that'll be a lesson that we'll have. But look at events in your past. I would say look at your events in your past that were uncomfortable to miserable, somewhere in that spectrum. And then what outcomes came of that that might have actually been a blessing in disguise? We use that term all the time, blessing in disguise, right? But when you're in the moment of that pain, that doesn't feel like there's any blessing whatsoever. But if you go through enough of those and you look back and you say, okay, there's been enough times in my life where this turned out to actually be very helpful. I can think of three massive ones in my own life, right? And if that's the case, then that shows that challenges, difficulty has the possibility of yielding some good. It's obviously not all good, but it's not all bad either. It's all about what we focus on. So the question that I have that I've been posing is, what does this time, what does this challenge, what does this pain allow you to do that you would not have been able to do otherwise? What has this challenge allowed you to do that you would not have been able to do otherwise? And start writing down a list, because it's all perspective. I would venture to bet that children who are going through this right now in 2030 may look back and say, I don't remember much of what actually happened, but I just remember I got to spend a lot of time with my mom and dad, you know? And that's perspective, because we all look at life as if what we see is reality. And the truth is, everything we see is filtered through our own past experiences, our beliefs, our values. And that's why every one of us has a different perspective. That also means that we can shift our own perspective. And if we see everything as a threat, everything that causes a sympathetic response, a fight or flight or freeze response in our body, then all we're going to do is operate in survival mode, which is useful in short bursts when there's an actual threat to our life, but it's not useful in the long term in terms of health, and ultimately just fulfillment in life. Isn't that the whole point of life, is to have a fulfilling, meaningful life, right? So what is this time allowing you to do that you would not have been able to do otherwise? Make that list and start living in those possibilities consciously. Now, if you have those moments where the panic and everything comes back, don't fight it, like you talked about earlier. Go through, experience it, process it, and then shift back into the possibilities and the opportunities.
Absolutely. I wanted to talk about taking that. I think that's the practical advice of this discussion. I think people should make that list of what they can focus on, what they can control, what they can try differently if this had not occurred. I want to take that a little further, just for the last little bit of this, and talk about how this pandemic could open you up to a new world that's emerging. So I read the other day, somebody said, historically, pandemics have forced humans to break with the past and imagine their world anew. This one is no different. It is a portal, a gateway between one world and the next. And so we have an opportunity, not only personally, but collectively, to reimagine our values and what's important. And you said, isn't it the point of life to have a happy, fulfilled life? Well, I don't know, Dr. K. I think our culture as a whole might have those values underneath and in their heart. But in terms of what was, I think, important before the pandemic, seemed to be the latest gadget, how much money I had, how hot this Instagram model is, how successful I was. There's a lot of surface values that have been cleared up right now, at least for the moment, that maybe aren't healthy to us living a long and fulfilling life. Not that any of those things are bad, but if we focus on them as the sole indicator of health, then I think we're lost. So will this pandemic open us up to caring for other people? We are right now social distancing and isolating for the sick people that may catch COVID-19 and be the ones in the ICU and the ventilator. We are doing this for the doctors so they don't have to make those decisions about who lives and who dies. We are doing this for the elderly and people with underlying conditions that are more vulnerable to this virus. Because as you know, you can read the news, somewhere between 80 and 90% of the people get pretty sick but don't have to be in the ICU. But the people that do, so we are sacrificing money, time. We're sacrificing our schedules, all the things that were dear to us because the government orders. And will this make us bitter or will this make us better? Is this asking us to realign our value system? What is important to us as a person, as a family member, as a, if you're religious, what values are you purporting to have and what are you following through with? And as a culture, what is important to us? Is it that people get a chance to live a healthy and fulfilled life? Or is it about the stock market? Is it about how much rent we can collect? Is it about debt? Is it about, so we have a chance and an opportunity here to take responsibility, just starting with one of us here, to keep our communities safe and healthy. I know people are sewing masks. Mm-hmm. I know people are staying home. I know people are calling people that are socially isolated in general, who are now more isolated. People are they're halting rent payments. Governors have stopped water shutoffs. We've thought about our healthcare system and how we can make it better. How can we reimagine it? How can we imagine our world anew? How can we get rid of ideas that were toxic to our culture and to people? And because here's the thing, this pandemic does not discriminate.
No.
It is affecting everyone.
And same we with have the mental to health concerns too. The depression doesn't play favorites either.
Exactly. The pandemic and the virus doesn't play favorites, and depression and the trauma from this and the anxiety and the anger does not play favorites. So can we imagine a world where we are taking responsibility for ourselves and our communities? And how do we then put that into practice? How do we then work on promoting people and leaders in our culture who take it seriously that everyone deserves a chance?
There are so many opportunities to shift the way things work in this world, because I believe that this is not an isolated incident. This is a symptom of something larger. This is a symptom of us falling so out of line with how we're meant to eat, how we grow our food, how we treat Earth, how we utilize its resources in a non-renewable way, how we have these policies that are not in the best interest in living a healthful, fulfilling life, not just as individuals, but overall. I do think that the value system is still living a purposeful, fulfilling life underneath, even before this. It's just that most people saw the route to that healthy, fulfilling life as the latest gadget or maximizing profits or whatever the case may be. Whereas now we're forced to realize maybe it's the people that we love. Maybe it's our communities. Will that change long term? I am of the mindset, the way that I work with clients, the way that I help my audience here is always about, fundamentally, it's personal responsibility. Fundamentally, it's what can I do right now to shift the reality that I'm living in? And part of that is your own psychology, your own way of doing things, but also a lot of it is your relationships and how you treat other people and what you do for other people. Winston Churchill, one of his so many great quotes, but one of the ones that I love the most is, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. And my hope is that as we go through this together, this virus that doesn't discriminate, the economic implications that fundamentally don't discriminate, the mental health challenges that don't discriminate, this affects everybody in this entire world in a manner that has never happened in human history. Perhaps this is a wake-up call. I hope it is, but it starts with each and every one of us. And what can I do differently today? What can I do differently tomorrow to make life better for the next person? And if we all did that, and if we all made choices that were in the best interest of all of us, I think we would come up with some very creative, innovative solutions to live in harmony with this earth that we're on, live in harmony with one another, and ultimately live in harmony with the world that's inside each of our minds. Because one thing that I've noticed with all this social distancing and everything, even when you're watching TikTok and seeing what people are creating or Instagram and everything else, I think it's very clear that people are not comfortable being inside their own minds. We're so used to having things to distract us, whether it was our work, whether it was traffic, whatever the case may be, distractions, right? And now we're forced to live inside the confines of our mind because there's only so much you can watch, so much you can do, right? And we're starting to realize that, okay, I need to start to face what's going on in here. You face what's going on in here, you can do more to serve other people as well. And let's make something positive come out of all of this. That's up to us.
I agree. One last comment is, this does start with you. As much as you may be afraid of that or not like that or be scared, you know, be resentful about that, it all starts with us. And you may not think, well, I can't do great things. Well, all great things start with something small. And maybe you don't need to do great things. You just need to do your thing.
Right.
And so what that means is this: don't wait and hope and pray for leaders that will save you from this situation. Work on becoming the type of leader, even if you only help lead children in a daycare or one person in your life. Become the leader that you wish you had in the world to lead you.
Perfectly said. Perfectly said. Well, thank you so much, Paul. It's great to have you as a friend and appreciate having you here on the channel. And I'm sure we'll do this again soon.
Sounds great, Dr. K. And likewise, it's a wonderful having your perspective and having you as a friend in my life as well. And I look forward to our off-the-air Zoom calls during this social distancing time.
Absolutely. Have a great one.
And there you have it. This has been another episode of the Intentional Clinician Podcast. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with people you know. I would surely appreciate it. And if you're on a podcast app, you can actually rate and review this show, which would help me tremendously. Also, check out Dr. Karthik Ramanan. Check out his YouTube channel and check out one of his weekly webinars on ending coronavirus anxiety. During this difficult time, I want to make sure everyone knows that online counseling and therapy is available through HIPAA-protected software or even by phone. Because of recent changes, insurance companies are covering this, whether you have Medicaid or private insurance, and most counseling agencies are offering sliding scales as well, since so many people have been devastated financially by the coronavirus COVID-19 quarantine. So if you're in need of counseling and you're in the state of Michigan, all of the therapists at Health for Life Grand Rapids and the Trauma-Informed Counseling Center of Grand Rapids are online and are able to take new clients at this time. Just visit www.healthforlifegr.com or give our front desk a call, who are answering not from the front desk but from their homes, at 616-200-4433 between Monday and Thursday, 9 to 5, they will answer. And they'll help you get hooked up with the right therapist for you, or just check us out online. We're also on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Health for Life Grand Rapids. So check us out. We'd hope to help you at this time, no matter where you are, as long as you are in the state of Michigan, where we are all licensed. I, Paul Krause, am also licensed in Arizona, but I cannot take new clients at this time in Arizona because I do not live here full time. I'm in Michigan most of the time and then in Arizona 4 to 5 months of the year. So that's not enough to have a whole practice here. If you're looking for an MDRIA consultant, I am now an MDRIA consultant in training, and I can provide 15 of the 20 hours needed to become MDRIA certified. I am working on starting these groups soon. Feel free to contact me at CounselingSupervisorGR or healthforlifegr.com, or just send me an email. All right, everybody. It's been a rough couple of months. I hope that you're all healthy and safe, and that you're taking some time for your mental and emotional well-being and taking care of the people and animals around you. So until next time, this has been Paul Krause of the Intentional Clinician Podcast.
I've been scrambling, yeah, up all night left-handed, trying to write these briefs for days. So I ramble on now, tied up in litigation, telephone wires line my cage. I can't stand it, give me a little more time. My defense is wearing thin, I know it, but I can't leave now. Find me in these these newspaper mountains. There are too many